Ches. And we're discussing here what happened after they discovered the riddle. They discovered the riddle, of course, the plishtim by pumping his wife for the information. Vayomalon Sheir, and the people of the city said to him, Vayom Hashvi, on the seventh day, B'terem Yavoh Charsa, before the sun set. Now, it's interesting here, the sun is called here the Charsa. And if we recall from the early Prakim of Shoftim, when the sun is called the Charsa, generally it's a negative sign. In other words, the sun was Shimshon. And the sun, which was supposed to have risen and shone for all of Am Yisrael, here is alluded to as a cheres, right? A pottery, generally a broken piece of pottery. And the Shimshon sun is setting even as it begins to rise, because we are going to see, we have seen, and we're going to see even further, that Shimshon was falling prey to his lusts, and therefore he was setting the scene for his eventual complete downfall later in the story. So they were saying, so B'terem Yovah Acharso is of course related here to the fact that he had given in with this plishti woman, and he had married her, and this had set up the whole scene for what's about to occur. So B'terem Yovah Acharso, before the sun sets, and the end of the time for the allotted to give the riddle, they said to him, Ma Masok Midvash, what is sweeter than honey? Uma az miari, and what is more powerful than a lion? In other words, they made it clear to him that they found the honey which came from the lion, and that they resolved the riddle. Vayomer lohem, and he said to them, you obviously did not find the carcass of the lion with the honey in it. Lulei charashti lebem charashtem beglosi, if not for the fact that you plowed with my calf, which was euphemism for his wife, lo mitzasem chidasi, you would not have found the riddle which I posed. Now, a couple of things here. First of all, lo mitzasem, he says, I know you didn't find it. You obviously pumped my wife the information. Lule charashtem beglosi, the Rabbag says that he suspected that they were having adulterous relationships with her. In other words, that was the euphemism of plowing. In other words, they were having their way with her. And in fact, we will find out later on that this will be corroborated by subsequent events in the story. Vatitzlacha lav ruach Hashem. Here, however, we see how this was part of the Toeina. In other words, Shimshon went too far in actually marrying this woman. But this whole scenario was supposed to be a scenario which led to the annihilation of, or at least the severe destruction of the Plishtim. And here, too, we find that this actually occurred. The Spirit of God rested upon him. Vayerid Ashkelon. He went out to Ashkelon.
Rested upon him in what sense? Excuse me. It's ambiguous.
Power. Power. Power.
Ruach Hashem rested on him in a positive sense?
Yeah. Ruach, look at the old Targum. Ruach Gevura min Kodem Hashem. A spirit of power.
Is any causal factor here?
He got angry.
What happened before?
That was the cause. The cause was that he got angry. He was asking whether it's a Ruach HaKodesh type thing. It seems that the Ruach HaGvura wouldn't, and if it wasn't rooted in holiness, would not be called Ruach Hashem. But it wasn't that he prophesied here or something like that. There was no...
No, the Ruach HaKodesh, in the sense that this was Shlichut.
Right, there was a divine message, there was a divine plan to annihilate the Plishtim. In other words, the fact that Plishtim now are going to get killed is a good thing, as far as the divine providence has occurred. It is concerned. It's not the 30 Plishtim who bothered him. That's what we're going to see. It's another 30 Plishtim. But the idea was, in God's master plan, that the Plishtim should see they're dealing with this superhero madman, and that they should beware and be wary. And this, in fact, was achieved by Shimshon, as we're going to see it later this evening. That was the main thrust of Shimshon's period of being Shofet Am Yisrael, that they were afraid of this one warrior Shimshon. And here too, the fact that he went down now and is about to kill 30 people is going to cause the Plishtim to be wary of him and to lay off a little bit from Am Yisrael. So let's read the pasuk, one second. Vatitzlach lav ruach Hashem, the Spirit of God fell upon him. Vayerid Ashkelon, he went out to Ashkelon. Vayachmem shloshim ish, and he killed 30 other Plishtim. Not the ones whom he made the bet with.
Arbitrarily.
the Mefarshim say here, all the Plishtim were culpable for the despicable behavior of each other, so therefore he was allowed to kill others. Now, I don't know if he chose specifically 30, to say arbitrarily. It could be that he picked 30 renowned Rishoyim, or something to that effect. But, yes.
The Mefarshim that you just mentioned,
that has powerful implications.
Which
one was it? No, it's not in my notes. I know, I want to know if it's specifically applied here. I have to look in the Mefarshim. No, it could be I was making it up. I thought I saw it inside. So it happens. I don't see it. Nope, I don't see it now.
It's good against the going, against us.
Yeah. Okay, I retract that. I made it up. I don't see anywhere here that it says that these 30 people were part of communal responsibility. So I'm not sure what the justification for these 30 people is, but in any event, vaykachatz chalitzosam, he took their shirts, vaytena chalifos, and he gave their changes of clothing, v'magidi achida, to the ones who told him the riddle. Vaycharapo, and he was very angry, of course, vayal beisavi, and he went back up to his father's house. The Malbim points out, he gave him the 30 suits, but then part of the deal was also give him 30 sheets. And the 30 sheets he didn't give them. He said, that much I'm not going to give you. Okay, you found out the riddle by a crook, but I'm not going to give you for that the 30 sheets, which I promise you is a part of the original bet as well. Yes, what did you want to ask before?
Well, when he referred to his wife before, and then afterwards you see Ruach Hashem, that maybe it really was that he started realizing that...
Egla is a term of endearment.
So
my little, sweet little calf. Yeah.
Unless maybe he meant that it wasn't endearment, that he realized.
Whenever you find Eglos, he seems to have been in the times of Tanakh in terms of endearment, actually. And ask me why, but that was the case. Maybe because of Egla Rufa, I don't know. But in any event, Vayicha Apo, he was upset at her, of course, because she seems to have been in cahoots with them the whole time. And this is corroborated. It said, we see here, Vatiyesha Shimshon Lemeire Eyu Asher Re'alo. The wife of Shimshon then married one of these 30 guys who had become friendly with him. So obviously, this guy was not just being friendly with him, he was being friendly with her as well. And the bottom line, as it came out, is that ultimately, after Shimshon left, she consorted with him.
So he lost everything. He lost his soul, he lost his woman, he lost his nazirut, he lost his innocence.
Not his nazirut yet. He didn't actually drink wine. He made a mishnah, but he didn't drink wine.
You're thinking nazirut in the limited sense. Nazirut in the wider sense is abstinence from wine in order to do this.
Right.
That's
right. But we're going to see at the end of the next paragraph, right? Shimshon right now is at a nadir. He's at a low. But we're going to see that he's going to rise up again. We're going to see in the next paragraph. At the end of the next paragraph, we will see how God sends him a message, at least in my opinion. We'll see how God sends a message, say, wake up, do some tshuva. And that will work. Okay, let's begin. We'll see a little bit here already at the beginning of the paragraph. Vahimi yamim. It came to pass a year. Generally, yomim is a year later. That sometime later passed. Va be make tzir chitim in the days of the harvest of the wheat. Vayivkot Shimshon as yishto. Shimshon went to visit his wife. He had regrets. He had remorse. And bigdi zim, and he brought a young goat with him. Now it's interesting here the parallelism. Of course, she Yehuda met Tamar. Be make tzir chitim in the days of tzir chitim. And he gave her also a goat. So there's, I believe, although I can't prove this, of course, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sending him a message to remember his roots in Yehuda, and not to sink to the level of Don. This will not help. With Vayomer, he said, Avo el ishti. This is a very coarse language. He says, I want to have relations with my wife. Of all ishti achad, you want to go to my wife into a room in order to have relations with her. V'lo nasta via lavo. Her father did not let him come in. In other words, the girl's father didn't let him in. V'yom ravia, her father said to Shimshon, Amar amarti, I said, ki sonos nesa, that you must have hated her. Vetnena, and I gave her l'merecha, to your old friend. You know what? Halacha sakdana tovay mimena. She has a younger sister who's better than her. The Malbim says that it's better in the respect that she's more loyal. She won't cheat on you. So let her be your wife instead, the younger sister. Shimson said to them, this is it. Now I'm clean with the plishtim. In other words, I'm going to do to them bad things, and it's legitimate that I'm going to do this. I'm clean, I'm not doing anything guilty. Kiyosani mamra, now that I'm doing them evil, they deserve it. What happened? Vayelach Shimshon Shimshon went. Vayukod, and he captured Shlos Meos Shualim. 300 foxes. Why foxes? Chazal say that foxes go backwards. I didn't know this, but foxes go backwards. So too, the Plishtim went backwards. They reneged on their Shvuah, the promise which Avimelech, the old king, made to Avraham and Yitzchak, not to do any harm to the Jews. So is he pleased to Shimshon is not just taking his own revenge here, but he's also taking revenge of the Jewish nation in general.
Too little, too late. If the Plishtim already had sinned at the very outset of this whole business,
mm-hmm.
before he took the woman, etc., why it should have been his first line of argument? They've gone back on the Shavuah of Avimelech, and therefore I'm going to...
You're right. Shimshon was only aroused to this point when it also was his personal vendetta. But he wasn't just a grudge match. He also wanted to tell them that you guys are getting punished not just because of me, which is the immediate cause, but also because you're afflicting Am Yisrael. So what did he do? Vayikach lapidim, he took torches or flames. Vayifen zanav, and he tied tails together. So therefore he tied them in 150 pairs of foxes, and between each tail he tied a torch. He put one torch between each of two tails. Now, the Mefarshim point out that with foxes this could work very well because all other animals run away from each other. Again, I don't know how foxes run. But other animals run away from each other, foxes back up into each other. So therefore, their tails would not split apart. Even when they would run, they would not run apart from each other. They would stay together, and therefore their tails would constantly hold up the torches. Now, a couple of things here. The Malbim points out a very beautiful thing. He says that the fire between the two foxes represents the fire which comes between spouses, right? We know in Judaism, Zochu Ish V'Isha Shechina Shriya Beinehem, then the Shechina combines them. Lo Zochu, if they don't merit it, Eish Ochlasan, there's a fire which comes between the two of them. So the fire connoted the flame of anger and the flame of corruption, let's call it, which the Plishtim had caused to come between Shaul and his wife, Shimshon and his wife. Besides that, I wanted to point out that it was 300. And we know that whenever we find the number 300, that represents a complete immersion in something Olam HaZedek. The antithesis, generally, of something holy. 400 represents holiness, 300 represents something which is very material. So obviously Shimshon here was alluding to the fact that the Plishti nation was very material, very coarse, very much into Taiva. That was part of, I believe, what the 300 alludes to. But there's also another Lashon here, the language of Zonav, the connotation of a Zonav, of a tail, we know also has to do with Arias. Right, we just saw it in this past week's parsha, Vayizanev b'chol kol anecha sholim acharecha, which Chazal say means that they cut off the bris milas of those who were kicked out from Shevet Dan, and threw them up towards the sky. So we see that Zonav represents as a euphemism for things which have to do with lust and with taiva. So therefore, here too, he was saying that you Shimshon, you Plishtim people, you are involved in this kind of Zonav, this tail kind of activity. He ignited all these flames, all the torches. Vayishlach vayishalach bekamos plishtim. He sent these foxes through the grain of the plishtim, which was standing in the field. Vayivar, and it ignited. Migadish, that which was piled up in piles already, because it was harvested. Adkama, that which was still connected to the ground. Vat kerem zayis, and according to the Mepharshim here, means up to and including the kerem, the grapevines, and zayis, the olive trees as well. Vayomu plishtim, the plishtim said, Mios osos, who did this? Vayomu, and they said, Shimshon did it. Chasan ha-timni, the son-in-law of the person from Timna. Kilocha chasishto. Why? Because the guy from Timna took his wife, Vayitnolimereu, and gave it to to his friend. Vayalu plishtim, Vayisrafu osoves avio ba'ish. So the plishtim went up, and they burnt her and her father. So this is Mida connected Mida. Originally, the people who wanted to find out the riddle said, tell us the riddle, otherwise we're going to burn you and your father's house. And they told the riddle, that they pressed Shimshon to give them the riddle in order to avoid being burnt. But, you know, Rishoyim always get their comeuppance. Sooner or later, they get that which was in store for them. And therefore, the fact that they told ultimately was not enough to save them from that fate of being burnt down, and they... father and the daughter were burnt. Now, it's interesting, though, that they didn't attack Shimshon. Why didn't they go after Shimshon? Instead, they went after his father-in-law and wife. So the Rabbag says a very interesting thing, which means seems to indicate the Plishtim were not totally uncivilized, which is that they said they held that Shimshon was right. There was an injustice which was committed against him.
Maybe they were afraid of him.
Well, could be. That might be another alternative. Yeah.
What?
300 foxes. Still, that's a good point. Okay, I can accept that. That they're afraid of him, so they went after the.
The other one is eminently fair, because we know that there is an ancient, inviolable thing regarding.
Okay, that could be. Yeah. In any event, yeah, we don't know. Each trap could be equally right. So Vayomlem Shimshon, Shimshon said, Im ketasun kozos, if that's what you do, ki im nikamti bochem, then I'm going to take actual capital part of the revenge from you. Vacharechto, only afterwards will I stop. So the Mavim explains that Shimshon had thought that punishing monetarily, in other words, by destroying their fields, was sufficient punishment. But now he saw, they're willing to kill, to execute over this sin of their having committed adultery. So I have to join in the execution here. If they're slaughtering, I'll slaughter too. That the Malvim interprets as Shimshon's approach.
There's only one problem with it. First of all, it breeds a cycle of violence.
I don't think Shimshon cared about the cycle of violence.
Well,
I think Shimshon was into the cycle of violence.
In the end, yeah, except he was doomed by it.
Maybe, but
that
wasn't what doomed him. Just a minute. The cycle of violence was not what doomed him. What doomed him was his averus.
All as part of this.
No, not the cycle of violence. There's no evil in the violence. Are you a pacifist?
No.
No, it's okay. We won't kick you out.
Bakers,
but they might kick you out. I won't kick you out. What?
Where I come from, absolutely not.
Okay.
That's the answer to that. But Vayach Mehem Shloshim Ish.
Yeah.
Why did I say cycle of violence?
Yeah.
Because the violence, the fact, if you can go killing, then I'll go kill.
Yeah.
And he was the one who actually initiated.
Right.
Al-Pi Al-Pasuk. Wasn't they that started this the cycle?
You mean by killing 30 people?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of violence, he was the one who set the precedent.
Oh, you're asking a separate question of the Malbim. You're asking the Malbim that the Malbim said, Shimshon was already willing to kill in the past. It sounds to the Malbim, the only reason Shimshon was willing to kill is because he thought that they killed the wife and father-in-law. But that's not true, because it's on the previous parak, he killed 30 people already. That's a good question on the Malbim. He already did that. Oh, that's a very good question. Yes, what did you want?
The Malbim answered that very nicely.
Yes.
I mean, he said that if they would have killed her and her father at the very beginning,
yeah,
then it would be reason for them.
Mm-hmm.
If they showed that they were acting properly.
Right, so according to the Radak, he says, your punishment for them now is too little and too late. If you wanted to be the ones to punish them, you should have done it earlier. Now, you're just stopped sinning. And this is the year we can explain a little bit more at the Ralbag. The Ralbag viewed this as takin injustice against him. In other words, they were taking revenge on Shimshon by killing his wife and father-in-law. So Shimshon is saying, if you really meant it sincerely, I'm combining here the Radak and Ralbag. If you meant it sincerely as a punishment for wife stealing, then you should have done it earlier. At the time. Now when you're doing it, you're clearly not doing it because you're motivated by your sense of justice. You're doing it because you want to commit another injustice against me. If that's the case, I'm going to take revenge on you. And that's what he comes to say. Now I'm going to take even more revenge. By the way, I just want to show the word which we're focusing on in here is, and the big question is, what does the word kazos mean? But im tasum kazos, if you're doing justice or you're doing injustice, what does that word mean? So according to the Malbim, it means if you're doing justice, and this is the way you do justice, I'll also do this kind of just justice. According to the Radak and Rabag, it means if you're doing injustice by killing them now, then I'll to be unjust to you as well. Yeah.
I don't understand how they felt they were punishing Shimshon's wife was with another man anyway.
Because Shimshon wanted her back. She wanted her back, and they weren't going to let her go back.
The distinction, the father-in-law was expendable. Yeah. She wasn't.
By the way, it's interesting, although I didn't think this through, it's an interesting question. If he was Megaya her, this seems to be a riot or a tzaddik, that he wasn't Megaya her. Because if he was Megaya her, this girl, then on technicality, he couldn't get her back. Right? Because she's adulterous, right? So you're not allowed to, Asur Labal, Asur Labayo, she can't go back. So it seems from this that... What?
It could have been smoke and mirrors. He knew he wouldn't get her back, so he might as well...
No. He bought this back. It sounds like from the Chuvot, like the Tanakh, like he was sincere. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's
a
real blood.
Could you be taken as a filegish?
What?
Could you be taken as a
filegish? No. Once she was Mizana, that's it.
I mean, I haven't looked at...
Even if she was married already. We know they're married already. So once she's Mizana, that's it. Yeah.
I haven't looked
Unless she's a Shiksa, then it's okay, yeah.
Recently, but when we started the Sefer, you had made mention of the Perek. You made mention of the book Samson's Struggle.
That's a struggle, yeah.
Many years. And the whole theme is that everything he did was to appearances as though he wasn't connected with Klal Yisrael, and that everything he was doing was really...
On his own.
Yeah, on his own. So, I mean,
but I disagree with Samson's struggle on that. I think that Taka's Shimshon's major pitfall was that he did center on himself. It wasn't L'shem Shemayim when he centered on himself. I want to show that to you later in the Perek. You don't have to agree with me, of course, but that's my way of interpreting it. So, but you might be right. I can't prove it to you. Or it could be that Taka was doing it for appearances. But it sounds from the Psukim, he was Taka still in love with her, and he wanted to be with her, and that's why he's coming back to Timnas.
Does that mean thus far he has no mandate to be doing what he's doing?
There's no Nevuah here. There's never been Nevuah.
Like
well, we did say... Right. Well, we did say by Reb Tzadok last week is that when he saw with his eyes... So he trusted his eyes. He felt that it was a ruach from Hashem which had him go after this girl. The problem was, says Reb Tzadok, that he went too far with her. But he's never yet received, at least that we've seen, any nevuah. So, and I don't know if we will see nevuah which he receives. Only ruach Hashem, which is not a direct prophecy. Okay, let's go further. Avayachosam shokal yarech makog gdola. He smote them. Thigh on hip, or hip on thigh, a great beating. We mentioned last week the name of Reb Tzadok. Shokal Yerech is also a Lashon which has to do with Taiva, because it's the area which surrounds the place, that the hip and the thigh. So, Vayachosam Shokal Yerech, he beat them concerning this matter of Taiva, which they had committed an evil against him in Makogdoila in a great fashion. Vayere, then he went back down from the Plishtim. Vayeshev, and he sat Besif Sela Etom in Seif, the rocky area around Sela Etom. Now Etom, it's interesting, I didn't realize this last week, 2 weeks ago for that matter, that the Shimshon's mother's name, remembers what her name was? Slaphonis, is actually mentioned in Tanakh. It's mentioned in Divrei Yomim Aleph Dalet. I only found that today looking through CD-ROM under Etom. And it turns out there that Etom was the brother of Hatzlafoni. That's what it says there. Etam was the brother of Hatzlafoni. So this is his uncle's property he ran away to. He ran to his uncle's property in Shevet Yehuda. So Etam was obviously somewhere in the vicinity of where his uncle lived. Okay? Vayalu Plishtim. So Plishtim came. Vayachanu b'Yehuda. And they camped in Yehuda where Shimshon was hiding in his uncle's property. Vaynotchu b'Lechi. And they spread out in the area called Lechi. Now, it's probably going to be called Lechi not because of events which took place in the past, but Lechi about events which are going to take place in the immediate future. Vayomer ish Yehuda. Lama alisem aleinu. So the people of Yehuda said to Plishtim, why have you come up against us? Why are you here? Vayomru, and they said, Lasar Eshimshon, Banu. We are leaving. We came to... the people of Yehuda. Here we're writing about the masses, as if they were Ish Echad. They came, Lasar Eshimshon, the Pinnacles wasn't from Yehuda anyway. To take Shimshon captive, Olinu. In other words, we're going to kill him. Vayerdu shloshes alofim ish Yehuda. 3,000 people came from Yehuda. Elsiv sala etam to this place in the rock. Vayomu leShimshon. They said to Shimshon, Aloyadato, you knew very well. Ki moshim bana plishtim, that the Philistines are ruling over us. Umazos asislon. What have you done to us? He said, listen, that's what they did to me. That's what I'm doing back to them. In other words, they did injustice to me. I'm doing injustice back. Quid pro quo. They said to him, nonetheless, we've come down to arrest you. To give you over to the Philistines. Shimshon said, fine. Okay, I'll go. He shoveled, but promised me, Pentim kumbi atem, lest you yourselves inflict harm on me. In other words, I'm willing to go if you don't inflict harm on me, you just leave me up to the Philistines. By Omerlon, they said to him, Lamor the following, No, we won't do anything to you. Kiosorna, Sorachunda, Sorcha, only going to do is put you in chains, or put you under ropes. When it's Sanucha be Adam, we're going to give you over to their hands. Vameslon and Misecha, we will not kill you. They will, but we won't. By Asua, I'm going to speak about that in a minute. By Asua, they took him captive, Bishnaim Avotim Chadoshim, in two fresh ropes, fresh new ropes, which are strong, they're not dry. By Alumin Asela, and they took him up from the rock. Now, if you take a look here in the Malvi Muter, Yudalif, which is on the page on the top left, Yudalif, he explains Alochik Ishuir. He says, Halo Yodato Ki Moshe Bona Plishin, don't you know the Philistines are ruling over us? Goyim said, give us one of you in order that we should kill him. They're not allowed to give over that individual unless this individual is liable for the death penalty anyway, like Shevin ben Bichri. But Tzono Lamar means he doesn't have to be that person is liable to the death penalty just because of halacha, Rakmadin Machos, even if he's liable to the death penalty because he transgressed the law of the land. And this is true also if the person in question was pursuing, in other words, putting the life of many in danger, that through him, Yagia Sakon of Klaisro, danger will befall Am Yisrael. Shalaz that then, Moishim Roso, we give him over, even if they didn't designate that individual as the one they want. Utchila Amru, and they said to Shimshon, Haloyadati, you know Kimoshim on Ablishin, as those things ruling over us. Umazos says, so what do you do? We can, if you did this, in other words, you conflicted the harm on them, at the right, if it's a cloud, you are pursuing us, you're putting us all in danger. Veheshiv, he responded, Ani lo chashavti shagil lechem nesek. I didn't think that you would be harmed as a result of my deeds. Ki kasher asuli, because just like they did to me, kena sisi lehem, it was justified. Vudvarim shebeino beini leveinom, it's a matter of concern between me and them. Bilti nagim alkal has nothing to do with all of you. So they said to nonetheless, we came down to take you in prison. Because they designated you, they said they want you. And by the law of the government, don't forget the Plishtim were ruling over Am Yisrael, you're liable to the death penalty. So they took him because they said, as far as we're concerned, we have to give you over. Halachically, we have to give you over. Okay, fine. Let's go further. Hubad Lechi Plishtim, he came to the place where the Plishtim were. Hey, Hubad Lechi, came to Lechi. The Plishtim Eireli Krosso, and the Philistines blew their war horns when they saw him come. Now we know that blowing the horns has to do with victory. And the Plishtim felt, oh, this is the time when they're going to be victorious, when they're going to overcome Shimshon. That point, Vatitzah Hula Bruch Hashem, again, the Spirit of God fell upon him. Vatiena Avosim Hashem Zoris of Kipishtim. The strands, the ropes on his arms became like flax. Asher Boru Beish, which was already burnt in the fire. Vaimasu Asurav, and his bonds melted. Mal Yoda from on his hands. So the Maharal points out, in order to melt the bonds, it doesn't require great power. So the Maharal says that when it says Vatitzah Hula Ruach Hashem, it's going on the next pasuk. Why was the Ruach Hashem required? Vayimtza l'chi chamor tria. He found the jawbone, a fresh jawbone of a donkey. Vayishlach yodo, and he took his hand. Vayikachea, and he sent forth his hand, and he took the bone. Vayachbo elefish, and he killed within 1,000 people. Now, I'd like to address here an issue. Why the jawbone of a donkey? What's the symbolism in a jawbone of a donkey? I may have to do with Mashiach, but that's not what I was thinking of. Yeah. Wasn't obvious to me.
Just in parenthetically, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned it, or there's certainly potential. If you just look at this Perek, the convergence of all these different animals, each one has a place in whatever, Halakha, there's the Ari, there's the
Shual.
The Egla, there's the Shual, then now there's the Chamor, the Gdi Izim. I just throw it out for
my menagerie. I'm not sure what to do with it. You're right, there are a lot of animal metaphors here. I don't know what to do with it. Bilam had an asone, a female donkey. The talking donkey.
You remove the jaw, donkey can't talk.
Very good. The point here, which is clear, which is that we had a talking donkey earlier in Tanakh, right? Vayiftach Hashem is pi ha'ason, right? So we see, and here too we find, lechi chamor, the jawbone of a donkey. Obviously the part of the donkey with which the donkey speaks. So, another point here, let me just do the next pasuk in order to get back this point.
Becomes clear from the Tupsukim, but Chamor.
Oh, that's the next pasuk. Yeah, I'm going to read that pasuk. Yeah, in order to explain, I'm going to read the next pasuk. Vayomisha, I delayed till you got back. Vayomishimshon, pasuk that side, Vayomishimshon, Shimshon said, Bilchi HaChamor, in the jawbone of a donkey, Chamor Chamor Asayim. Now I'm going to explain this like the Malbim. I have made heaps, that's the Chamor Asayim, of the Chamor, the nation which is like Chamorim. The nation which is like donkeys. B'l'chi ha-chamor, with the jawbone of a donkey, he Casey, I have smitten 1,000 people. Now Chamor, of course, is always related in Hebrew to the word Chomer. The Reb Tzadok brings down that the chamor is a sign always of stupidity and lust. And that's why we have the Mitzrim are called the nation of chamorim, even though they weren't stupid, but they were very lustful, right? And b'sar chamorim, b'saram, or something like that, the Navi says. And also when Avraham Avinu left behind Ishmael and Eliezer, when he took Yitzhak to Akedah, he said, Shvulachem poim ha-chamor, the Chazal say, Ama domel ha-chamor, you are a nation like donkeys.
Now, there's also
Chamor Mel Shchem, right? That's good, that's true also. He's a Canaanite. That's right. Now, what?
The beginning of the Maharal is a whole page.
And it's called Chamor. Now, the thing is that, remember, we said way back when, about 2-3 weeks ago, we were talking about Shimshon's, not about Shimshon's, about Slavonis and Manoch's vision of the Malach. And spoke about Mafli La'asos. And we said, what is Mafli La'asos? the connection of Gashmius and Ruchnius. And where does that connection take place? Where do you see most strongly manifested the connectedness of the Gashmius and the Ruchnius, the Chomer and the Ruach? Where do they connect the most, in which aspects of humanity? In speech. That's where it connects. Umaflila asos, the Pella is the connection of the Ruach, the Chomer, and the Ruach, which occurs, in fact, in the speech. And the Lechi HaChamor, I'm throwing this out as a possibility, the Lechi HaChamor represents taking Chomer and using it properly by making the Chomer connect to Ruach. And the way you do that is by davening, of course. And this is going to be critical, because Shimshon till now has not davened. He hasn't davened at all. He's performed great acts of strength, but he has not yet davened to Hashem. Baruch Hu's sending him a signal. Hey, listen. You have to, if you're going to be the great Shimshon, there's a way to do it. You can't just focus on your own strength. You have to connect to me. And Shimshon still hasn't learned this lesson. And he still hasn't learned it at the time we get the Pasuk Tezayin. And he doesn't learn the Pasuk Yud Zayin either, but in Yud Ches he will. In Yud Zayin, Vayiki Chalusso L'daber, once Shimshon finished taking pride in that which he did, is he thanking God? Is he giving God credit? Saying, Belechi HaChamor, you know, with this donkey, I'm sorry, Belechi HaChamor, he casey, I smote 1,000 people. You know? Vayiki Chalusso L'daber, when he finished speaking, Vayashlech HaLechi Miyodo, he cast the Lechi from his heart, his hand, when he called that place Ramat Lechi. Again, he's not giving credit to God. He's giving credit to himself and the jawbone. By the way, I forgot to mention something before. I want to just mention quickly, which is that in Pasuk Ches, where it spoke about Shok al Yerech, the Targum says Shok al Yerech means cavalry and infantry. The Yerech is the people who walk, and the Shok are the people who ride. The other way. Shok al Yerech, actually Shok al Yerech is really the calves and the thighs. Well, it depends, there are different interpretations. So be that as may, that's what the target says. Yeah. So in any event, let's get back to here where we're talking about this issue here. It doesn't mention Yerkosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps by Yashlech, the fact that he cast it away is symbolic also. He cast away the lesson of the Lechi. In other words, the Lechi HaChamor was sent to him, hey, remember what you're supposed to do with Chomer. Connect it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the power of speech. And he cast it away. So, at first he didn't learn. We have to send him another signal. Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayitzmor Me'od. God sent him a very, very strong thirst. Then, Vayikra Al Hashem. Finally, for the first time, we see Shimshon calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomar. And he said, Atona Sata Biat Avdecha, you gave in your servant's hand this great salvation. He concedes. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's impact here. Ato Amus Batzama, now should I die of thirst? And worse, if I die of thirst, or if I'm in the process of dying of thirst, then the Falti Biat Arelin, I'm going to fall into the hands of the Arelin. And here Shimshon, of course, is pressing that he was fighting against the Taiva of the Plishtim, and it'd be a terrible thing if he will fall into their hands. Vayivka Elokim, so what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Vayivka Elokim esamachteish asher belechi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the, opened up the, split is a good word actually, esamachteish, the socket, which was in the jawbone, in other words, the socket which held the teeth, vayetu mimenu mayim, and the waters came out of this socket. And he drank, vatasha ruchu, and his spirit came back. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends him a message. Vazal say on this pasuk, Omer Bitzo Dvei Rabbi Ami, Hu Yivol Dor Vatomi, he lusted after something impure. Lefichach Nitlu Chayav, therefore his life was made contingent with Dor Vatomi and something impure, which was the Lechi HaChamor. Chamor is a tummy animal, an unkosher animal. But I believe that there's an essential thing which the pasuk is also saying here. well, not also. The essential thing which Chazal is stressing is that he was told, listen, your chomer is going too far. And use the chomer just to pursue it in and of itself. Anytime you pursue chomer, you pursue the material, it's only by connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Otherwise, it's a davar tamei. It's impure, base, corrupt. The only way to use it is to use it by connecting it to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, specifically by the power of speech, by davening always when you're in a bind, and also symbolized, I believe, by the fact that water always symbolizes Torah, right? Mayim always symbolizes Torah, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu is telling him that you not just that you should use speech, but you should use speech for tefillah and for Torah, for Avodas Hashem. That way you can make battle with the Arelim, with the people who are the Chomer people. Vayayachi, Vatashavu Vayachi, his spirit returned and he lived. Alkein Karashma Ena Korei. That's why this well is called the well of the Korei. Now, what was he expressing here? What was he Korei? What did he call out? He called out to Hashem. That was a powerful moment in Shimshon's life, which seemed to have turned him back in the other direction. In other words, he was at the brink of losing everything already right then. With this whole wallowing in Ashes Plishtim, down by the Philistines. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu literally saved him from the brink. By sending him this Lechi Chamor, by sending him this thirst, with this whole message, he was pulled back. And he may commemorate that by calling Eina Korei Asher Balechi, the voice of call, the well of calling to God, which was in the Lechi, the lesson he learned from the Lechi, Ada Yom Hazeh, and that was the message until this very day. And I believe that this is why this pasuk comes immediately afterwards, that the reconnectedness to Kadosh Baruch Hu, which he got here, was that which helped him to judge Am Yisrael, in other words, to save them from the Plishtim for 20 years. Now, of course, Bimei Plishtim, what the Mepharshim say, is that didn't make a complete salvation. It was still Bimei Plishtim, yes. He was the Shofet at this Yisrael, but it wasn't complete. It was all Bimei Plishtim, the entire time the Plishtim in the background. But he was, for those 20 years, very powerful in diminishing the sufferings of the Jewish people.
Are you understanding doing that for your work? How do you see it? In the narrow sense of Shvita, the din or shvita is a much broader function, because in the latter,
why do you ask to stop about
Shimshon? Because there's nothing that's come before that indicates he has any qualifications to be a shofet.
But he's a nazir. He was a nazir. He was a holy person.
Ba'olam ha'dayanut, in terms of learning, in terms to be able to lishpot.
Yeah.
And common sense, shviyut.
But we never saw that before. I mean, we never trumpet the qualifications of a shofet and say,
if you take shofet to be somebody who sits in judgment, all right, then what qualifies
him? I don't know. But I don't know about anybody in the Sefer. I can't tell you, because the Sefer never described to us what the qualities of anybody were. But most of them weren't.
And if Vayishpot includes the fact that he provided Hanhagah, that he provided Ish Tzavah.
Yeah.
What was his only claim to fame? A Nazir, who went sour, and his Gvurah.
I'm not sure that that's a complaint. In other words, I don't know if you have a legitimate...
I know,
complaint is the wrong word. I don't know if that's a legitimate issue, because... If throughout Shoftim we had seen by, let's say, Shamgar, or by Ibsan, that the Navi described their qualifications, you know, it's also, he had smicha from the chief rabbi of Israel, and he also had Dayanut, qualifications, then I could understand that here nothing's going on, and we should be alerted to the fact that we don't know any background on him. But nobody gave... We need
to have something against him. It's not only that...
He had a strike against him?
Look what happened before Fanshe Yehuda.
Okay, but he did tshuva. He stopped. For 20 years, he was, or it seemed, celibate. Until Perek Tzayin. 20 years, And then finally, after in the 20th year, Ba'el Shimshon Or, towards the end at least, Ba'el Shimshon Azasa, then he slipped. He went down to Azza, Vayar Sham Isha Zona, and he saw their prostitute, Vayavayla, and had relations with her. So all of a sudden, out of the blue. But I think it's 20 years later. I can't prove it to you, but I'm pretty sure. That wasn't in Azza, the first one, I don't think. Because in Gass, the first one. La'azosim Lamar. Interesting, the Malvin interpretation here, Pasuk based, La'azosim Lamar. He spread the word among the Gazans. In other words, he went around saying, hey, psst, Shimshon, sit down. Shimshon, sit down. He didn't let on he was Shimshon. But he went around telling people, Shimshon's in town. Bar Shimshon Hena. He told them all, Shimshon's here. Via Sobu, so they surrounded. Via Arvu Lo, and they laid ambush them, Kol Laila, the entire night, Bishara Yir. They didn't know where he was, but they knew he was in the city. By Ischoshu Kol Laila, they were all silent and plotting all night. Lay more to say, Ador Abokin, when the morning comes and he tries to leave the city, Faragmi, we're going to kill him. He was unconcerned. He lied there with her till halfway through the night. He got in the middle of the night. He ran to the doors. Not only he didn't break the doors open, that would have been nothing. He grabbed the entire door, broke it off its anchor in the wall, together with the two doorposts. Vayisayim, and he took them along, ima briach, with the bolt, which of course had a bolted shut, vayasam al-ksefav, he put it on his shoulders, vayalem al-roshar, and he ran a great distance to the top of the hill, ashra pnei Chevron, which was above Chevron.
Have you come across anything, what motivated him, what prompted him to go to Azza?
Taiva. Bust.
Why there?
Why? He liked Philistine women.
He could have gone to Ashdod.
20 years he safeguarded himself. That's it.
So this is the Havanat Chila.
That's right. They went down to Azza for this purpose.
If he fell so low, why did Hashem give him a
death? I'm not so sure. See, your friend, Mr. Samson Struggle, wants to claim that Shimshon was really a 98-pound weakling, and that he only got the strength when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent him a special gift. I don't think the Psukim indicate that. I think he had this strength at his disposal. I mean, you're going to see throughout this Perek Zion next week, about the hair and the whole business, so it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had this power within himself. So I think that it wasn't a miracle performed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much as his great strength. Taki had it, naturally.
Is Hebron the present day Hebron?
Yeah, it's far away. It's far away. It's part of the miracle. He ran very far with these doors.
But
yeah.
The police didn't work in Hebron,
no. That was like home safe. V'yachreichei. It happened afterwards. I'm just going to read this passage and then we'll go to Reb Tzadok here. Ahav isha b'nachal Sorek. He fell in love with a woman in Nachal Sorek. Ushma di Dlila. And her name was Lila. And this, the Malvim says, he wasn't Megayer. This one, he wasn't Megayer. Now, before we'll talk about Lila more next week, let's see Reb Tzadok. Actually, we're going to start speaking about Lila now. Here on the bottom. Uvnei Yisrael. Everybody see that? Where I have my bracket? You got that? Uvnei Yisrael, this is from a different save last week. We saw from the Poke Ikrim. This week, we're seeing from the Yisrael Kedoshim. Now, in the Yisrael Kedoshim, I have to tell you, Reb Tzadok has about 20 pages more, 30 pages maybe, on Shimshon. And you see, obviously, Shimshon was an issue which bothered Reb Tzadok, for understandable reasons. So, in any event, he spends a great deal of time, and obviously we're not going to see the whole thing, but let's see some excerpts. Uvnei Yisrael, Beifuchzeh. Bnei Yisrael, the opposite of Goyim. Amalek, he was speaking about specifically. Afilu yotzim eizapam, bishuras haTorah, even if sometimes they leave the strict letter of the Torah, who yurida shel haTorah chaliyah, this is a descent for the purpose of ascent. Kitzias Yeshua milchamis Amalek, like Yeshua when he went out to wage war with Amalek, outside the cloud. V'simon l'chol ha'etzios d'zer Yisrael, and it's a sign that every exit, which I'm so exits, perhaps astray from Judaism, shrei kulam koma acha, since all of them are one unit, that there's a purpose for it. I spoke this past week, I was a scholar in residence in Cleveland, so I was speaking this week, Friday night, about the connection between the relationships, I should say, between the frum Jews and the non-frum Jews. So I mentioned this Reb Tzadik and Tzidkas HaTzadik, which was expunged from the original edition by the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes, where the Ger Rebbe went through the original Tzidkas HaTzadik, and he censored out certain passages which he felt were too controversial. And they were only restored relatively recently by Elio Kito when he put out the Tzidkas HaTzadik in the 60s. So one of them, he says that the purpose of the... This is a very dangerous thing I'm about to tell you, which is that the purpose of Jews who assimilate is to be an illumination to the goyim. Because Jews who assimilate have a purpose in spreading the refinement and ethics and morality of the Jewish people to the goyim. Otherwise, the goyim wouldn't be able to pick it up. And that's part of Am Yisrael's purpose and goals in every exile they go to, is to spread ethics and morality to the goyim. So therefore, there's a positive purpose even for the Rishei Yisrael.
Why is it historically, empirically, it holds? Freud, Einstein. It's,
you ask why Mark, it's dangerous?
What?
You don't understand why it's dangerous, though?
But to encourage.
Somebody say, my tafki from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to go assimilate. Right. So it's a dangerous statement to make. But we live dangerously in this year, as we well know. And that which sustains the heart, and the inner organs, is the same force which sustains the pinky. Everything comes from one place. Even those things that seem to be extraneous, luxuries, unnecessary in the world, they're also part of the grand master plan of the world. And also in the stature of mankind, a cold talk, everything is necessary. I feel the most sorrows, even though it seems to be excessive, such as hatziponaim, the nails, vasiros, the hairs. So we're getting it? V'shimshon yuchich. Shimshon proves that. Shekol kochol groso, all of his strength and his power, hayatolui b'sarosav, had to do with his hair. Ubahem hayu klios also nefashos, was an amazing statement by Reb Tzadik. And in his hair were connected the nefashos shapol to anan, which were ejected by the cloud in the midbar. Ukshenis galech sar kocha, and therefore when he was shaved, his strength left him. Atchachotu litzmoach, until they grew back again. Shukeinyan tikun tzasa nefashos. This is similar, analogous to the rectification of some of the souls. Hanitovus legamrei. Which seemed to be shoved aside completely, in other words, totally assimilated. Hashem Yisbarach Hashem Alshavas, God has master plans. Shlo Yitach Mem Nitach, that none of them will be lost forever. Aydesora Gilgul. How does it happen? By Gilgulim, if necessary. They come back in reincarnations. Dacha Shagazazuar Yishreinus. Even if they're shorn off, Azuchazel Litzmach Michadash. They come back to grow again. Vishimshon Kvayunit Kodim Oso Nefashos. And Shimshon, who was forbidden to cut his hair, with him there was already rectified those nefashos, shayu dukmas saros haniros mosoros, which seem to be like hair, which is extra, so gaitzim, which are cut off and nishlochim and sent away. Uv Shimshon is bara, and Shimshon became clarified, shagam heim, even the lowest of the low, heim miklal akoyim, are part of the stature of Am Yisrael. His strength had to do with his being able to uplift the lowest of the low. This is his divine crown. From the womb, and his sanctity from his birth. So it comes out that it seems to be an exit from holiness. On the contrary, Ikar Kedusha is part of the essential holiness. Happened after he rectified that which was evil. The Yisbara, the Be'emes, B'zeh, Ikar Kedusha, became clear this is also part of the Kedusha. The Zek Toyuk Tokef Kedusha. This is the strength of the Kedusha Yosef in greater manifestation. Shafilub Esai Yetziyah Makodesh, even that which seems to exit, to be outside holiness, whom Molik Kedusha is also full of holiness. V'zeh She'ein Tzorich, L'ezer L'siyua. And And this would mean that without any help, theoretically, a person would be connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. But that's not true. Avobemes Yitzur Shel Adam Yizkar B'lo B'chol Yom. The Yitzur of an individual vanquishes him or is victorious, rises up against him every day. V'moya Kodesh Baruch Hu Ozro Eino Yocholo. If God doesn't help him, it's not possible for him to win the Yitzur. Afilo B'chol Kol Chishtal Saw them, no matter how much a man tries. But Shimshon became secure in the knowledge that he represented the sum kedusha of the totality of Am Yisrael, and therefore he felt he didn't need any help, so to speak, from Kodesh Baruch Hu. He had it in him already. Uvas Lila, and Lila comes Shoyisa Dugmas Chava Rishoyna, who is analogous to Chava, the first woman. V'dildulas Kohen, she sapped his strength, V'libo and his heart. Dainu, in other words, Shasa also he made him ke Abraham a duldo. And Abraham Adulda on Halacha is, let's say, a piece of flesh which is dangling by a thread from the skin of a person. Shelo yochel letolsho. She tried to sever him completely from Kedusha. She couldn't do that. Ulafrido legamri. And disconnect him completely. Kedavar anigzaz, like something which is cut off and nishlach and cast away. However, Varach, nishar meduldo. He remained dangling. Meduldo. Dangling. Shadai mamshichius. He was still able to bring life force. The Yochel Lachzor Lischaver, he was still able to reconnect Leos Kmoshoya and to be like he was originally. The Kachia Begil of Sarah, and that's what happened when his hair was shaved. Vasoras Kochon, his fenis, and his strength was sapped. Shechozel Litzmach, it grew back again. The Chozel of Kochon, and his power came back. Umikomakom, nonetheless, Dilda Lachzor Lishaito. She caused the strength to be weakened for the moment. Bekecho in his strength, velibo and in his heart, umaisav and his deeds, kumash kasav soite tesam beis. Hakoach nimshach mechochma, because strength comes from wisdom. Koach ma, the koach of that what? In other words, that substance in kayodu, which is in the mind. Valev and in the heart, koach gevura, is the power of strength. Bekrishas hayetzer, in restraining one's yetzahara. And he knew. He knew already from the beginning, from the first woman, not to tell any secrets. Even to watch that which came out of his mouth, from that person who lay with him. Because she already made a mockery, as we'll see later in the parak. She made a mockery of him three times. To Haven, he understood. Shane Lagiloy must not to tell the truth. I understood. Too bad. Nonetheless, Lo yochol la'atzor b'nafsho, he couldn't stop himself. Kasher olatzto b'tainos l'taivos, when she forced him with lust, l'chboshito, he couldn't restrain his yetzara. Ve'isira binas libo, he managed to remove the bina, the understanding of his heart. In other words, the restraint of a gibor kovish yetzro. V'zo ashein madregos shenis ale bohem b'doiro. He had two madregos in his generation, and here he claims that Shimshon had qualifications. The qualifications of Chochma and Bina. The qualifications of Moshe and Aaron. The deal of the loss. She took him away from him. By days that deal me male deal the lamais of Gankin, and therefore his activities could no longer have any strength at all. I'm going to skip to the next paragraph. But this is what the mouth said. He'll begin to save Am Yisrael. Sharakas Cholos Yeshu was the beginning of the redemption. And didn't complete it. Kilois also be other. Were he successful? Lashlin to complete Moshe Yisrael like he began. Hagmar Yeshua Shlemu would have completed the salvation. He would have been the hope for Mashiach. Moshe Choshev Yaakov Yinu Lava Shalom Olav like Yaakov thought. Sharim Izbarim Gam Kol Neposhos HaNidochim. He would have clarified that all Neposhos, even those who were pushed away from the Onan, Shonan Pilate, were also holy. Uvzeya Yitzias Kol Nitzaitis HaKdoshim Mokom HaChizazim Klipa. All the potential for Kedusha, which was mired in Tuma, would have come out. Achivua, the bottom of page 4, Achivua Ruach HaTum Lagami. So that the power of Tuma would have been completely eradicated, Minoritz. Kamoshaya lays kates like it will be at the end of time. Elish lo sabiado, didn't work. Kibigiluch sarosov, when she shaved off his hair, Sheva machlefos rosho, the seven peyos on his head. We know the seven peyos. Shabahem kluyim shiva minei nefashos, which are connected to the seven types of soul. Aniros kiduchios chazishom, which needs to be pushed away from kedusha. Corresponding to those are the seven people who are mentioned that they have no portion in the world to come. Shemnimnu were mentioned in Perek Shchelek in Sanhedrin. Shlosha Melachim, which would be three kings, Varba Yoitas, and four commoners. Then he goes on to say what these seven Kechos are. So this was what happened when the Lila overcame him. Now, take a look here, where I'm going to skip to the next place I have bracket. B'nei Yodah, he knew, the Mashiach tzarech letakin chet Adam Rishon. Mashiach's got to rectify the sin of Adam. U'letakin chet hazeh, and to rectify the sin, hayat tzarech she'agam isha. He needed a woman. Dugmas chava. Like chava, letakin cheta v'kayadua. Shekeni and Mashiach. As long as it's going to be with Mashiach that, I don't know, this seems to be a Zohar, and we know the Shabtai Tzvi made this mistake as well. That's why he took a prostitute, right? So we don't know how Mashiach is supposed to rectify the chait with women. I don't know, if somebody wants to be Mashiach, they better be careful not make any mistakes with this. But Naaman, Valkein Vade Gamushtada was there. He also made an attempt with this. Mashiach, I'm not Isha Benachosarek, that which you love is from Benachosarek. V'yoda Benachsho, and again, he knew in his soul, Ein Abasul Atavos Gufni Yaslechem Nesolam. I don't know, that's perhaps debatable at this point, we're right after an Isha Zona. But what Reb Tzadik is saying is that he didn't love her for lust. Chasha Devada, he must have thought that through her, Yegemara Tikkun, the complete Tikkun will come about. Mizel B'Nachal Sorek. What does Nachal Sorek mean? Nachal Sorek means Shorek, means to whistle. And this has to do with Al Shem, with the Pasuk, Eshra Kolahem, I will whistle to them, Akabtsein, and I will gather them together. It's are interconnected, right? They're interchangeable. Ukedesh shakosuf shkulin sayma kimam rav dechiyasi v'sharik v'avad shrak rak asim mashicha. V'nikreishon is called a woman v'lo zona, not a zona here, not like the first one. Kila kachali isha, he took her for a wife. V'niz kashma and mentions her name lokarishinus. Tiyosu zivugo, because this was taka the one for him. This was his zivuk, his bashert. Mikomakom, nonetheless, lo ne'emar bo likuchim. It doesn't say that he married her, eleva yehav, that he loved her. The ava garma hakol mashu batach ba'avaso. The love was the mistake. That yitzuchom mashu batach ba'avaso, the vade kach rotzer shemis bar, he trusted his love too much. All right, it's late. We'll get back into this next week. This is obviously going to take us to the rest of the parak when we talk about the Lila. But in any event, Kuwait of Tzadik is explaining it. He understood that with the Lila, this was the ultimate test in which he's going to prove his Mashiachiyut, and ultimately he failed.